For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which is I also received, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that He was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen also of me, as of one born out of due time. There is ample evidence in Scripture, in history, from sacred and secular writers, that one Jesus Christ died on a cross some 2,000 years ago, and that He rose from the dead. Now, I know there are a lot of skeptics and people who wouldn't believe that, but there is enough evidence to prove in any court of law that Jesus died and rose from the dead. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. What I want to talk about today is what difference it makes that Jesus Christ is alive. So, Jesus is alive. Big deal. What difference does that make? What difference does it make to you and to me that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Well, I want to tell you what difference it makes. I'm glad you asked. It makes a big difference. You see, it's the power behind our regeneration. That is, it's the power behind our being saved. That is, moving from a state of being a sinner to one God has made anew and righteous. So it's the power behind our regeneration. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." That is a hope that is alive. "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So, because of His resurrection, you and I have been given a hope that is not just a hope for when we die, but as a living hope right now that has impact on our lives even today. When Jesus was raised from the dead, He had a new quality of life, a different body. It was a resurrection life that He had in a human body, in a human spirit that were perfectly suited for fellowship with the Father and obedience to Him. Again, if I sound really scholarly, as I said last week in the sermon, it's because when I'm doing these theological things, I borrow heavily from the scholars. Which Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, I would suggest you get it. Read it. Use it for a devotional. It's only about that thick. But it's really good. And so he says, in the resurrection, Jesus earned for you and for me a new life just like His. He earned for you and me a new life just like His. So with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He can give us the kind of life that He has. Now, we don't fully have it yet. We still live in these fleshly, sinful bodies. We still are subject to weakness, to aging, to decay, and to death. But our spirits are made alive with the new resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 say it this way, "Even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us," that is, He's made us alive, "together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And so, from God's perspective, we have been raised, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, have been raised with Him and given new life, the kind of life that He was given. And so we're raised with Him and we are made to sit together in heavenly places. So from God's perspective, we're already seated with Christ in heavenly places. For Him, it's a done deal. We see things through time and space, and God sees them from an eternal perspective, and we're there. When we're saved, we're there. We're there because Christ is there, and we're there in Christ Jesus. So when God raised Christ from the dead, He thought of us as being raised with Christ. And therefore, according to Grudem, deserving of the merits of Christ's resurrection. Now I think about that. Jesus is the only one that deserved the merits of His resurrection. But because we are identified with Him in His death, we're also identified with Him by God in His resurrection. And therefore, the merits of Jesus Christ are our merits. You know, here's what most people say when you ask them how they're going to get to heaven. Well, I'm going to live a good life. I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to do good things. I go to church every once in a while, Easter, Christmas, you know, things like that. And I hope that one day God will say, you know, you're a pretty good guy, Let me in. But no one except Jesus Christ gets to heaven on their own merits. And so if you're there on your own merits, you're not going to be there. If you're headed there on your own merits, you're headed for another place. If you're climbing that ladder, when you get to the top, you'll find you haven't been going up, you've been going down. It's the wrong wall. You don't get there on your merit, you get there on His. Paul says his goal in life was this, that I may know Him, Jesus Christ. This Paul was talking very intimately. He said, oh, that I may know Christ. Listen, I don't know anybody that knew Christ as well as Paul did. No human being, I don't think, knew Christ as intimately as Paul, the great missionary and preacher. And he says, oh, it's my desire to know Him even more. And the word know is an intimate knowledge, a knowing like a man knows his wife, a very intimate knowing Him. I want to know Him. I want to get closer and closer and closer. And not only that, but He said, I want to know Him. He also said, and the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. Did you know that we have within us the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And that power can be ours today. We'll look at that more in a minute. But let me look at this little aside. I want to finish the verse. It says this, not only does He say that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, but it also says, and the fellowship of His suffering. Now, most people just like to cut it off before that. I don't want to know that part. Fellowship with His suffering. I see what Jesus suffered. We just talked about it. He suffered terribly. How many of you have not suffered in your life? Many of you have not gone through difficult times. How many of you may be going through some of the hardest times of your life right now? I want to tell you, based on what He says right here, I don't think there's a time in your life when Jesus is closer to you than when you're going through your pain. Know that. When you're hurting, when the tears are uncontrollably coming, and when you think you can't make it another day, remember, you're closer to Jesus than you've ever been, and He's closer to you. That's the fellowship of His suffering. The resurrection of Christ gives us new power for Christian ministry and for obedience to God. Without the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, we really can't do Christian ministry, and we're not very good at being obedient to God, are we? The power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that dwells within each one of us. In Ephesians, Paul says it this way. He prays that He might know In verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at the right hand in heavenly places. So He's saying here that the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in heavenly places is the exact same power that is working in us to make us new, to save us and to sanctify us, to begin not only declaring us righteous, but making us more and more able to obey Christ every single day. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ dwells in you if you've trusted Him as your personal Savior. The question is, have you trusted Him as your personal Savior? Do you know Him as Lord? Paul also sees us as raised with Christ in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. He says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into His death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So as Christ was raised, we've been raised with Him. We have a new kind of life dwelling within us. In verse 11 of Romans 6, He says, likewise reckon ye, that is King James, for count it this way. Put it in your record book this way. Put it in the debit column like this. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves, count yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is through the resurrection of Christ that we are able, and that power that dwells within us, to begin to overcome the sin that used to defeat us all the time. Our new resurrection power includes the power to gain more and more victory over remaining sin in our lives. Romans 6:14 says it this way, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. See, when you tell a kid, you can't do that, don't do that, you know what they do every time? I got to try that. Well, why are they saying don't do it? Must be something good behind that. What happens when grace enters in and the law is dealt with by Jesus Christ? That attraction is no longer there, and we're better able, because Jesus conquered that sin on our behalf, to handle sin in our lives because of grace. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says this, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. So if Christ is not raised, then we're still subject to the law, we're still sinners, we're in big trouble, or someone say deep hockey, because we have to pay for our own sins. But Christ did die for our sins. He was raised from the dead. This resurrection power also includes the power for ministry in the work of the Lord. Acts 1:8 says it this way. We've been going through the book of Acts here. And so we know this verse, Acts 1:8, that you shall receive power. This is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall bear witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That power is possible because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that dwells within you if you're a believer. And so, what's the difference? What difference does it make that Jesus rose from the dead? First of all, it's the power behind our new birth, our regeneration. Secondly, it's the assurance of our justification. The first point was longer than the second two, so don't worry too much if you're counting. So justification is defined like this. It's a declaration that we are not guilty, but righteous before God. It's like when you go to the court of law, and sometimes, you know, a guilty person stands on the at the mercy of the judge, and the judge says, not guilty. Well, it doesn't matter that he was guilty. The judge declares him not guilty, and so he has been justified based on the word of that judge. That would be an unjust judge. Our God is not unjust. He declares us just, but the penalty was paid in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that penalty was accepted, and we know that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's what it says in Romans 4 and 25, who, that is Jesus, was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. What is He saying? He's saying Jesus was delivered because of our sins, and He was raised from the dead, and that resurrection from the dead proves that God accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross as our payment for sin. If He had not approved, then Jesus would have remained dead. He would have been nothing more than another Jewish martyr. But when God raised Him from the dead, everything changed. Everything changed. Here were these apostles. They were cowards. They turned their back on the Lord. They felt guilt and shame. And they were hiding because they thought ISIS would get them too. The ISIS of their day. And they were hiding out. They thought they would be next. They were running for their lives. They wouldn't share Christ with anyone. They kept it behind closed doors and locked doors until something happened and they saw Jesus. And the Holy Spirit filled their lives and they had courage that they never had before. God accepted the payment of Jesus Christ for our sins, and He showed us that by raising Christ from the dead. Philippians 2:8-9 says it this way, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here's what Jesus did. He died on a cross for us. The next two verses tell us, or our next verse tells us how God accepted that. Wherefore, verse 9 of Philippians chapter 2, God also hath highly exalted Him. See, He died on the cross. He humbled Himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. For that reason, God highly exalted Him, lifted Him out of death and the grave, and has given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see what it says? It says, Christ died. He humbled Himself for your sins and mine. And because of that, God said, I raise Him from the dead. And I prove to the world that I've accepted what He did as your payment for sin. That's good news. That's good news because we know our sins are paid. I don't have to get in on my own merit. I get in on the merit of Jesus Christ. So by raising Him from the dead, God said three things about Jesus. He said that He approved of Christ's work of suffering and dying for our sins. He approved of Christ's work of suffering and dying for our sins. He said, I approve. It's done. Secondly, he said that His work was completed. This is it. It's complete. It's finished. What I sent Him to do, it's done. He showed that by raising Him from the dead. And thirdly, the resurrection says that Christ no longer had any need to remain dead. So if you and I had to pay for our own sin, we would have died, we would have remained dead, and our soul would have continued to pay for our sins forever in hell. Jesus did not. Because of who He was, and because God said the payment for sin is death, and the death of Messiah, the death of the Lamb, the sacrificial one whom He provided to pay for that sin is enough, then when Jesus died, that's all that needed to happen. When Jesus suffered the wrath of God on our behalf, it was fully paid. And on your debt was stamped, paid in full, by the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross when He said, "It is finished." So there was no penalty left to be paid for sin, no more wrath of God to bear, no more guilt or liability to be punished. All had been completely paid for, and no guilt remained. So, in His resurrection, I want us to get this. If we don't get anything else in the sermon, I'm almost done. Let's get this. In the resurrection, God was saying to Jesus Christ, "I approve of what you have done, and you find favor in my sight." Get that. He said to Jesus Christ, "I approve of what you have done." God approved of Jesus Christ. And by the way, if God approved Jesus Christ, who took our place, guess what? He approves of us. God, when nobody else approves of us, He approves. When we stand up here and call a purple paper pink and feel like nobody else approves, God approves us in Christ Jesus. When I go out on the Easter egg hunt yesterday and I set in the chlorine that Roger was using for an object lesson, or the Clorox bleach, and turned the back of my pants white, so several ladies sent guys over to tell me I had a big white spot on the back of my pants, I could laugh about it and keep on working. Because even though everybody else thought I looked silly, God approves of me. Do you ever feel like mom and dad didn't approve of you? Like important people in your life didn't approve of you? Let me tell you, when you get saved, when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God says, "I approve of you as much as I approve my Son, Jesus Christ." You see, some people get saved, they think, okay, my debt's been erased, but now I got to work to gain God's approval. Doesn't work. You can't work hard enough, you can't do good works good enough to gain God's approval, but you have gained His approval when you were placed in Christ Jesus the moment you were saved. That's good news, let me tell you. What difference does it make that He was raised? It makes a difference because it's the power behind our resurrection. It's the assurance of our justification. And then finally, it's the guarantee of a perfect resurrection body. Hey, let me tell you, that's good news. Some of you have been looking for the perfect body all your life. Some of you sign up at the gym every year. You know, by the way, you know, Roger put his sunblock in his pocket. But it does about as much good as signing up for the gym every year and not going. And by the way, if you work out every day and if you build a six-pack on your belly. Now, I don't mean drink a six-pack and get one anyway. If you get muscles like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you still don't have a body that won't die and fall apart when you get old. You see, Jesus Christ was given a new body. They went to His grave and His clothes had folded within themselves and they were just laying there. The body had gone through them. He had been given a body that was real, that people touched, that He ate with and he touched people with. And yet it would go right through those clothes. It would go through a locked door. It would come out of the grave. So if it come out of the grave, why did they roll the stone away? Well, they rolled the stone away to show nobody's in there. He's alive. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is alive. And so it is a guarantee. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power." 1 Corinthians 15 says it this way in verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." What's he talking about, first fruits? How many farmers do we have in the room? I didn't think in the middle of Fort Worth we'd have a lot of farmers. In the days we're talking about, everybody was agricultural, and so when they would raise their crops for the offering, they would bring an offering of first fruits. Why? Because it was the first. And because it was the best. And because this offering was a sign of what the rest of the harvest would be like. You get that? This first fruits offering was a sign of what God was going to do when He brought in the rest of the harvest. When the Bible says Jesus was the first fruits, listen, Jesus was the first to truly rise from the dead. You say, wait a minute, there's stories in the Old Testament of people rising from the dead. Not the same. There's people in the New Testament who rose from the dead. Not the same. Listen, they all died again. Every one of them died again. They were resuscitated. They came back to life. But they never received this resurrection body. You see, Jesus conquered sin. Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered hell. And Jesus conquered the grave. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? The sting of sin is death, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? Do you know that if you died today, you have eternal life? Do you already know that that power dwells within you because you've experienced this new life that we're talking about? If you don't, I want to challenge you. We're going to have an invitation song. I'm going to be right down here. Brother Roger, our youth pastor, is going to be right down here as well. And if the Lord touches your heart and you want to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, please come. And we'll share with you how you can be saved. If you'd like to become a member of this church, come and we'll share with you what you need to do to become a member of this church. If you just want to come down here and pray, you're always welcome. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this special day when we celebrate what Jesus did for us. It makes all the difference that Jesus rose from the dead. For if He rose not, then we have nothing. But He did. And because He did, we have everything. If there's one here today who does not have the hope of the resurrection, I pray that this day they might accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and He might rise in their hearts. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.